Well, as we shared at the beginning of worship, today we begin a new teaching series entitled More Than Basic. For the next 4 weeks, we're going to take a look at little-known Bible characters and how they offer example of God's work through unlikely individuals that illustrate that we are all more than basic. We're also going to be having some fun with Legos. That's why we received some, and again, we'll talk more about that throughout the message this morning. But we're going to have some fun with Legos and using clips from the Lego Movie to help us illustrate this truth. Now, if you've never seen the Lego Movie, don't feel bad, because I didn't even know there was a Lego Movie. See, that's how out of touch I am. But this past week, thanks to Amazon Prime, Tammy and I enjoyed the Lego Movie. And this movie centers around Emmett, an ordinary Lego figurine who was mistakenly identified as the special, an extraordinary being and the key to saving the world. Throughout the movie, Emmett finds himself drafted into a fellowship of strangers who are on a mission to stop an evil tyrant's plans to conquer the world. Unfortunately for Emmett, he is hopelessly and hilariously unprepared for such a task. Towards the beginning of the movie, Emmett is confronted with the truth about what other people think about him. Let's watch this short little video clip.
Come on, this is a misunderstanding. I'm just a regular, normal, ordinary guy. And I'm late to meet my best friends in the whole world. And they're probably missing me right now. They're probably out looking around. Hey, where's Emmett? Hey, where's my best friend Emmett? Hey, you know what? Ask all my friends. They'll tell you.
Oh, we asked them all right. Boom!
That guy's not a criminal mastermind.
See?
Yeah, you know, he's kind of a average, normal kind of guy.
Thank you.
But, you know, he's not like normal like us. No, he's not that special.
Wait, I'm so confused. Who are we talking about? Wait, does he work with us?
Gail doesn't remember me?
Look at Randy here. He likes sausage. That's something. Gail is perky. That's something.
Harry. Well,
when you say Harry, I go... When you say the other guy, I go...
Harry's like that.
I know that guy, but I know, like, zippy-zap about him.
We just talked earlier.
I mean, all he does is say yes to everything everybody else is doing.
You know, he's just sort of a little bit of a blank slate, I guess. That'll be $42, please.
We all have something that makes us something, and Emmett is... nothing.
There you go. I told you I said nobody.
All right. Well, there you go. And at this point in the movie, we find Emmett struggling with his ordinariness. What other people think about him is what drives how Emmett feels about himself. And since they don't think that much of him, in his mind, he's just a nobody. Well, maybe we can relate in some way with Emmett. Maybe we felt that way. Maybe we feel that way today. Blogger Jesse Rice does. Check out his open letter to My Fear of What Others Think. It begins, "Dear fear of what others think, I am sick of you, and it's time we broke up. I know we've broken up and gotten back together many times, but seriously, fear of what others think, this is it. We are breaking up. I'm tired of overthinking my status updates on Facebook, trying to sound more clever, funny, and important. I'm sick of feeling anxious about what I say or do in public, especially around people I don't know that well. All in the hope that they'll like me, accept me, praise me. I run around all day feeling like a golden retriever with a full bladder. Like me, like me, like me. Because of you, I go through my day with a cloud of shame hanging over my head, and I never stop acting. The spotlight's always on. I'm on center stage, and I'd better keep dancing, posturing, performing, or else the spotlight will move, and I'll dissolve into a little meaningless puddle on the ground, just like that witch in The Wizard of Oz. I can never live up to the expectations of my imaginary audience, the one that lives only in my head, but whose collective voice is louder than any other voice in the universe. And all of this is especially evil, because if I really stop and think about it and let things go quiet and listen patiently for the voice of God who made me and the Savior who died for me in His eyes, it turns out I'm actually profoundly precious, lovable, worthy, valuable, and even just a little ghetto fabulous. When I find my true identity in Christ, then you turn back into that tiny, yapping little dog that you are. So eat it, fear of what others think. You and I are done. And no, I'm not interested in talking it through. I'm running, jumping, laughing you out of my life once and for all. Or at least, that's what I really, really want. God, help me. You see, in the kingdom of God, in the realm of God's reign, there is no such thing as a nobody. It does not exist. There is no one who is merely basic. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in Ephesians 2, verse 10, when he says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago." In Christ, we discover who and whose we are. We discover that we are a masterpiece handcrafted by the Creator of the universe to do magnificent and wonderful things for others in Jesus' name. We may look in the mirror and just see basic, but in Christ, we are transformed into a people who are more than basic, into a people whom God uses to do the extraordinary, to do extraordinary work, the good things He planned for us long ago. We may sit at home feeling basic, feeling helpless and hopeless because we struggle with the dysfunction of basing our self-esteem on what other people think, like Emmett from the Lego Movie or Jesse Rice, the blogger. But in Christ, we are a masterpiece. Remember, when God looks at us, He likes what He sees. So who gives a rip what other people in the world think about us? When we know when God looks at us, He thinks we are tops. He thinks we're a masterpiece. Bottom line, in Christ, we are more than basic. So today we're going to take a look at an obscure Old Testament character by the name of Jabez. His life story consists of only two verses in the entire Bible, only two verses. Check out 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. It says, "There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, 'Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain.' And God granted him his request." In recent years, Jabez has kind of developed celebrity status due to the best-selling book by Bruce Wilkinson entitled The Prayer of Jabez, which has sold over 20 million copies. It's a very short book, just like this passage is only two verses long, but it patterns the prayer life themed after the life of Jabez. But when we look at little-known Jabez, we discover that Jabez's name wasn't pleasant at all. The word Jabez means one who causes pain. No doubt his mother had a difficult time giving birth to him, But think about that for a moment. Some of us may have suffered from being called names by people around us. People can be mean-spirited and call us all kinds of things, call us names that label us according to how they receive and perceive us. That's what Jabez basically went through. His name became a lifelong label given to him by his own mother. Every time someone would call out his name, he was reminded that he was a pain. Think about that. The word Jabez means pain. Can you imagine mom opening the door and calling out your name? Pain, it's time for dinner. Pain, come on in. Pain, where are you? Pain, pain. Can you imagine your first day of school in homeroom? And they go around doing the little roster, you know. Pain, Littlebridge. Pain, pain, where are you? You must be a pain. Ha, 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 he, he, he. See, now imagine having that. I mean, that's the reality here. Every time his name was mentioned, it reminded him of pain. People heard his name and they thought of pain. So if we've ever been labeled wrongly in the world, think about poor old Jabez. Every time his name was called, it was if he was being labeled as one who would bring nothing but pain upon the people around him. It was as if a sentence had been passed over him and he'd always be a pain for others. However, despite the label that was assigned to him, Jabez didn't live that way. Jabez broke through to become more than basic. 1 Chronicles 4 verse 9 reminds us that he became more honorable than all his brothers. And this reminds us that regardless of what labels others might give us, we can rise above them. Jabez was able to break free from the name that labeled and made him a curse or a liability to others by calling on God for help. Again, from 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we read this, verse 10. It says, he was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Jabez, who no doubt he had to suffer from low self-esteem caused by the label, the name given him by his own mother. But Jabez broke through the wrong identity assigned to him by calling on the God who reminds us all that we are magnificent. We are masterpieces handcrafted by the God of the universe, and we therefore are all more than basic. In Jabez's short prayer, he petitioned God. He cried out, keep me from all trouble and pain. Jabez asked God to undo and nullify the label that was given to him. And God, being merciful and gracious, granted him his request. Now, this should bring us great hope, because regardless of what the people say around us, no matter how the world might label us, in Christ we discover that we are indeed more than basic. And this morning we're going to take a look at the life of Jabez so we can learn, like Jabez, how to dream big. The fact is, because we are more than basic, because we are a masterpiece created by the very hand of God, God's ambition, God's heart for us, God's desire is that we be a people who are dreamers, who dream big. So if you haven't already, grab a Bible and follow along as together we explore three principles from the life of Jabez that will help us foster a more than basic attitude in developing God-sized dreams in our lives. But first, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, here we go. Here's the first principle. Principle number one, a faithful finish is better than a successful start. A faithful finish is better than a successful start. Everyone loves a great beginning, a good start. Whether you're running a race or beginning the school year, we all desire to get off to a good start. Again, verse 9 says this. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Pain. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. So again, from this verse, we see that Jabez had a difficult start to his life. His birth caused so much pain to his mother that she named him Pain. Some of us may recall the old Johnny Cash song, A Boy Named Sue. The boy with a girl's name had to fight constantly to overcome the sissy stigma attached to his name. Jabez had similar challenges and problems. As we've mentioned, people, even his own family, associated disappointment and discouragement with his name, but his painful start did not determine his destiny, his future. Other heroes of the faith have had difficult beginnings, yet they went on to be used in a mighty way by God. Moses committed manslaughter and lived in exile until God was ready to use him to lead a nation to freedom. The Apostle Paul persecuted Christians until his miraculous conversion. Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers and ended up in prison before God placed him in Pharaoh's palace. You see, regardless of our situation or how slow our start has been, God is always able to give us a new start, a new beginning, and lead us forward to become all that God created us to be. You see, the past does not determine the future of those who put their trust in Jesus. Jeremiah declared that our God is a God of the future and that he has plans for his children. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, we are reminded, God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Many people who have made great contributions in their field began in humble settings with few advantages. Abraham Lincoln was born in a log cabin and suffered a mental, financial, and political breakdown before being elected president of the United States. Michael Jordan, the famous NBA star, was cut from his high school basketball team. Jabez may have started in pain, but he ultimately received great blessings from God. His life, like thousands upon thousands of others, testifies that we should never give up hope because of a bad start. And what we need to instill in our minds is that because we are in Christ more than basic, a faithful finish is always better than a successful start. You see, it's not important how often we stumble, fail, or fall. But what is important is that we learn to get up off the floor every time we fall, and that God has a magnificent future planned for us. You see, we can get up when we fail when we know who and whose we are, when we know we are indeed more than basic, and that God has a great and glorious future for our lives. Principle number two, God's approval is better than people's applause. God's approval is better than people's applause. Again, from verse 10, we read, Jabez was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me." This great follower of God longs, yearns, and pleads for God's hand of blessing to reside upon his life. Now imagine, if you would, the introduction, the opening scene to every episode of the Andy Griffith Show, which was popular in the 1960s. Andy and Opie walk by a lake where Opie stops to skip a rock across the water. Andy's carrying the fishing poles, walks beside Opie with his hand resting passionately, affectionately on his son's shoulder. The simple gesture communicates affection, protection, and approval. You see, this is what Jabez desires from his heavenly father. Because Jabez is more than basic, he wishes for God's approval over his life. He does not crave possessions or the things that the world provides, but his heart, his desire, his passion is for God. He needs the approval of our heavenly Father. So likewise, whose approval do we pursue? Whose approval do we seek in life? Do we seek the applause of heaven, or do we seek the applause of others? As we seek to embrace a more than basic mindset and develop into the champion God created us to be, it's imperative that we seek to live our lives for God, period. God must be the captain of our ship. And you see, this is how this works. When God is truly first, when we yield our all to the mighty God we serve, then we experience God's stamp of approval in our life, the transformation within. He begins to mold and make us after his will. And as we put him first in our life, we begin to discover that, yes, we're not a nobody. We're not just basic. We're more than basic. God's Holy Spirit dwells within us. And when we embrace that reality and our focus is only on God and the applause of heaven, we could care less about what other people think or trying to please such and such, because it doesn't matter. In the end, there's only one opinion that counts, and that's God. And when God looks at us, remember, he likes what he sees. And this leads us to the last point. Principle 3. Big dreams are better than short naps. Big dreams are better than short naps. Again, Jabez prayed. Verse 10 begins, Jabez was the one who prayed to the God of Israel. Here was his prayer. Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do, and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. Jabez asked for great things. He petitioned God for a powerful blessing, an extended territory, and protection from evil. His prayer reflects some of the same requests taught by Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus instructed the disciples to pray for God's power to be manifested on earth as it is in heaven, for provision of daily bread and for protection from temptation. Both prayers, the prayer of Jabez and the Lord's Prayer, elevate the standard of God-honoring petitions. God instructs and invites us to release his mighty power upon the earth by offering more than basic petitions. Unfortunately, most of the time, our prayers never come close to calling upon our God to accomplish great things in our lives. Robert Schuller, in his old book, Possibility Thinking, quotes Bob Richards, former Olympic pole vault champion. He was speaking at a conference many years ago on the importance of dreaming big. Richards recalled meeting a little girl when he was working out. She was 9 years old at the time and maintained that she would be the greatest woman athlete alive someday. I told her, said Richards, that she might want to explore other possibilities because she didn't appear to be all that athletic. That girl, however, was Billie Jean King, who went on to become a world number one professional tennis player. Richards went on and told about Mark Spitz, who predicted at the age of 15 that he would someday win 7 gold medals in the Olympics. People laughed and made fun of him. But in 1972, that's exactly what he did. And Hank Aaron, at the ripe age of 17, announced to his parents that he was going to play 20 years in the major leagues and have over 3,000 hits. In the process, he broke Babe Ruth's home run record. Richards then concluded his little talk by saying this. I love this. This is what he said. He says, mental attitude is the most important thing in life. Champions don't talk about the impossible. They just talk about possibilities. God never made a loser. He never made a bad product. He made everyone to be a winner, to be a champion. And if we want to be the champions God created us to be, then we need to embrace a more than basic mindset and see ourselves as God sees us while developing God-sized dreams just like Jabez. The fact is, our God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ever ask or imagine. Our God desires to do magnificent and wonderful things through us for Christ's sake in the world. And all that is required is a willingness to think big, to attempt something so great for God that it's doomed to failure unless God be in it. You see, God sent his one and only Son to redeem each and every one of us, to redeem the world. Jesus endured great pain and inconvenience for our sake. Through Christ, God reveals to us how much he really, really, really loves us. Do you think Jesus came and died for us so that we could just sit around and play tiddlywinks all the time in Jesus' name? Heaven's sakes, no. God sent his one and only Son to redeem us, to reveal his love for us, to fill us with his presence so that he could send us out into the world to do great and marvelous, extraordinary things in his name. He sent us out to make a difference, one life, one need at a time. That's who we are. That's our destiny. That's why in Christ we are more than basic. So as we close the day, I want to invite us to make our pew, our chair, an altar of prayer. And as we spend time in personal prayer today, let's ask ourselves the following. Let's ask, am I embracing a more than basic mentality? Am I thinking big for Christ's sake in the world? Am I dreaming God-sized dreams? Am I willing to attempt something so big for God that it's doomed for failure unless God be in it? Have I learned how to get up off the floor when I fall, stumble, or fail? Am I all in for the great all in all? When I look in the mirror, do I see someone who's just basic, a nobody, ordinary, or do I see myself as I really am, God's champion, one who is more than basic, one whom God will use to change the world? You see, our mental attitude is everything. We need to live based on what God says about us, not what the world or others may say. In Christ, we are more than basic. Let us be silent now before God.